When you're called to separate, first you go through a trial to see if you're going to really go on. And then God gives you the Holy Ghost, which is the sign that he has accepted your faith that you profess to have in him. So each individual goes through a testing time. Every seed of Abraham does the same thing. Abraham and his seed. So God had Abraham circumcised in confirmation of his faith. What was circumcision? A sign. And when you say, I believe God, I believe Jesus Christ, then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a sign that he's accepted your faith. Amen. You see, he's using this, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and circumcision. He's speaking of the same thing. And you're sealed in the kingdom of God, not till the next revival, but until the day of your redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. But there's something that's very necessary here. You say you believe. You might say you believe and haven't received the Holy Spirit. The prophet said there's something wrong with your faith. Something wrong with your faith. Because God circumcises the heart the minute the believer really comes in full surrender. It takes a full surrender. Let me read it again. God circumcises the heart the minute the believer really comes in full surrender. When the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's under obligation to give him the Holy Ghost as a confirmation of his faith. You might say, well, what's the matter? Why haven't I received it? Just your faith. That's all. If you'd surely believe, God's there to give it to you. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Praise the Lord. It's a gift of God that circumcises the heart. We have to be willing to let God circumcise our heart. We have to be willing to surrender completely that he might circumcise our heart. It's a circumcision of the heart. It cuts away the surplus flesh, makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's nothing you had to do in yourself. It's a gift. A gift of God. And when you really believe, when you believe correctly, God gives it to you. It's by faith. Everybody in here received the Holy Ghost? Everybody in here been circumcised in your heart? Well, then there's no reason for me to preach this. But I believe there's some here that still need this. Praise the Lord. Because I don't think everybody raised their hand. If it was just for one person. You know, God can have a service called for just one person. You know, because when that last one comes in, we're out of here. And I'm looking for God to bring that last one in. If he's not already in, praise the Lord. But God has a purpose for us being here. This gospel is going to be preached. This message is going to be preached until the last one comes in. Now, God gave Abraham that sign of circumcision. And that was the covenant that God made, that every Jew should be circumcised. Is that right? That was God's covenant with Abraham. Circumcision. So are we circumcised today? Yes. The prophet says, with the Holy Spirit, not by flesh. Now, God gave this commandment. He gave this commandment to Abraham and his seed that every male must be circumcised. And God, when he called Moses to go down there and deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, Moses hadn't performed on his own son the very delivering sign. The prophet says this was the delivering sign. Now, what if I would say, okay, the whole church, every one of you, come on in and be baptized here with water, and we'll put your name on the church membership, then we're all going to glory together. But that's not scripture. Unless you're born again, circumcised of the Holy Spirit, you've got to be. I don't care how good you are, what church you belong to, how good your parents were, except you as an individual has been born again by the Holy Ghost, you'll never go in the rapture. Unless you've been circumcised, you'll never go in this rapture. You can't go. That's the very delivering sign, the circumcision. And the circumcision is by the Holy Spirit. What is circumcision? Circumcision is a cutting away. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The scripture says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and that thou mayest live. And every son of Abraham is circumcised today, not of the flesh, but of the heart. The Holy Spirit circumcises the heart, cuts away the things of the world, makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Circumcision is cut off surplus flesh. God, by his sovereign election, called Abraham. And God, by his sovereign election, has called Abraham's seed. Then if you are Abraham's seed, you can't dispute with God. Amen. Where's Abraham's seed?
Amen.
Are we that faith seed? If you belong, if you're of Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. If you are Abraham's seed, you can't dispute with God. You can't dispute his word. Abraham's seed is a part of this spirit. For God gave Abraham a sign of circumcision, cutting off the flesh, for a witness he had received him. And in these last days, he has took the Holy Ghost and circumcised every believer, cutting off all doubts. Got any lingering doubts? Cutting away all doubts, cutting away all unbelief. To believe God's word is pure and holy, and it's the truth.
Amen.
Circumcision, cutting away all unbelief, everything, cutting loose every shoreline, saying, God, I believe you. Live or die, sink or drown, it's your word, and I believe it. If you still got doubts, let the Holy Ghost cut them away. Because you're never going to go anywhere with those doubts. And that's what God does when a man comes to him on the basis of the shed blood of Christ. Standing before Calvary, recognizing himself as a sinner, condemned. But recognizing that there was a sacrifice made to atone for his sins. Recognizing that Jesus paid the price that we should have paid. He took our sins upon himself. and he paid the price to redeem us. Standing before Calvary, standing there with a word in your heart saying, God, I believe it. God manifests his power and love to him and cuts away the things of the world. And you're no more a worldly creature. You're a heaven-bound son and daughter of God on the ladder to glory. But you have to yield to God. You have to let God perform his circumcision. Notice, Israel met at the temple where they come together. And a proselyte, before he could come into the temple, he had to be circumcised. And that's coming by the cutting off of the flesh of the foreskins of the male. So a man, before he can come to Christ, the first thing has to take place, he has to be circumcised. Circumcised, not his flesh, but the spirit. It cuts all the world and the foolishness of the world, cut off of him by the gospel. What does God use to cut away? The gospel, the word of God. This is that blessed circumcision knife. And it's the only one, says the prophet, the only one that I know of. Only God can do the circumcision of the heart. And he has something that he uses to do it. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does God use? He uses his word. It's God's sharp knife. God help us as ministers not to try to dull the edge of that knife. Amen. It's meant to cut. It's meant to cut away. The word of God is meant to cut all our unbelief away, all our worldliness. Nowadays, people, some of the ministers have stopped preaching against sin. And we wonder why things are creeping into our churches. But God's got a way of cutting off these things. It separates, cuts off the surplus flesh of the world from us. The word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. So you see, you come right back again. The word of God is the thing the Holy Spirit uses. Not creeds, not denominations, but the word is what separates us from the things of the world. It cuts away our own ideas and wholly consecrates us to God. The Holy Spirit cuts away the surplus, cuts away the theology of the world, cuts away man-made doctrines, cuts away all unbelief. Galatians 3:27 through 29. The scripture says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's not speaking of just water baptism. That's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the rebirth, where Christ comes into you. Amen. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ, the only way to get into Christ is through that new birth. Amen. Baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Amen. And heirs according to the promise. So in the Old Testament, the woman had to be joined to her husband in order to receive it. Speaking of circumcision, because it was the man that was circumcised. In the Old Testament, she had to be joined to her husband in order to receive it. But in the last days, in these days, God's poured out his spirit. And the women are circumcised in the heart just like the man.
Amen.
So this circumcision, it's not just for the men, it's for the women too. It's an evidence. Praise the Lord. People are looking for some evidence of the Holy Ghost. The prophet said the seal of circumcision as a confirmation. When the old things pass away, everything becomes new. When you make your confession and believe and accept the Lord Jesus and you become meekness, patience, gentle, faith, and to believe God, to believe divine healing, to believe the whole Bible, to believe everything that God says, then that's the evidence. That's the evidence that you've been saved. God has circumcised your heart and taken away all your unbelief. And you believe God. What is sin? Sin is unbelief. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't even have to do anything else. He that believeth not is condemned already because unbelief is sin. Sin is unbelief. You don't have to do anything. You're already condemned. Now, drinking, committing adultery, lying, stealing, you do that because you're an unbeliever. You're an unbeliever to begin with. And that's the reason you do those things. But if you once get right with Christ, those things will just, he says, they're circumcised at the altar. When you confess it, God just takes it away and puts his life, puts the life of himself in you. When the Holy Ghost comes back to make you live this different life with God's seal of his circumcision on your heart to stop your drinking, smoking, gambling, cursing, unbelieving, not believing in divine healing, the works of God, and you've received God, and it's a seal that everybody knows about from now on. Now that's the evidence. That's what the evidence is, brother. You pass from death unto life. And all the things that you once done passed away. Because the life of Jesus Christ has put the Holy Spirit into and controlling you, a new creature. Controlling you. Amen. Once you're purged, you have no more desire of sin as long as you live on earth. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, I'm still doing this and doing that. You know, the Lord never did sanctify me from that thing. But the prophet said, if he sanctified you from one thing, he sanctified you from it all. Amen. He takes your whole soul, body, and spirit. The problem is, it's you that never came to Christ right in the first place. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, if God's never circumcised you yet and gave you a confirmation of your faith, you believe, but in a weak way. But when you really give up your whole self, when you really surrender completely to God, then God fills you with the Holy Ghost as a confirmation you really believe him. Believe the whole gospel, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's true.
Yes.
The circumcision is a type of the Holy Ghost. God gave Abraham the circumcision sign after he had accepted God on his promise and walked out into a strange country. It was a sign. And all his children and his seed after him should have this sign in their flesh, because it was a distinction. It made them different from everybody else. It was to separate them from all other people, this sign of circumcision. And that's what God uses today. It's the sign of the circumcision of the heart, the Holy Spirit that makes God's church a separated church from all other creeds, faiths, and denominations. They're in all kinds. God has called his people out of all these different denominations. It's the Holy Ghost that makes you, it's that circumcision that makes you that separated church. You know, any child in the Old Testament that refused circumcision was cut off from among the people. He couldn't have fellowship with the rest of the congregation if he refused to be circumcised. Is that right? And the prophet says, now pattern that to today. A person that would refuse to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost can have no fellowship among those that have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, why? You just can't do it. Because the scripture says in Romans 8, verse 6 through 8, for to be carnally minded is death. That old carnal mind. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That old carnal mind is an enemy of God. That carnal mind, you know, God has called us to this new birth, where Christ comes into us. And we actually lose that old carnal mind. And we take on the mind of Christ. They say of the Christian, he's lost his mind. Amen. I'm glad I lost my mind. I'm glad I can have the mind of Christ. See things the way he sees it. Think the way he thinks. Praise the Lord. Because that old carnal mind is death. But to be spiritually minded, to have the mind of Christ, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God or the word of God. Not subject. Neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's why we need a new birth, praise the Lord. That's why we need to be born again. We have to put off that old carnal nature, that carnal mind, and take on the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, who's the natural man? The man that hasn't been born again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That old carnal nature, it just can't receive the things that are of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So he can't, that with that carnal mind, he cannot receive the things of God. To him, they're just a bunch of foolishness. You say, well, why can't believers fellowship with, why can't somebody that has the Holy Ghost fellowship with somebody that doesn't? There's an old proverb that says, birds of a feather flock together. You don't see doves and crows fellowshipping together. Anybody ever seen that? No, because their diets are different. Their habits are different. Their desires are different. And that's the way it is with the world and with a Christian. When you've been circumcised by the Holy Spirit, you just can't enjoy the same things that they do. You can't talk about the same things they do in that old carnal mind. You're so different when the Holy Spirit comes on you until the mind of this world don't like you. That old carnal mind, they don't like you. They're against you. They don't want nothing to do with you at all. You're born of another world to them. Praise the Lord. Born from above. You become like an alien. So much an alien. I don't know if I should read this part. He said, if you go to the farthest flung regions of African jungles, you're different when the Holy Spirit comes. I think he was talking to the white man there. But let's go to the reverse way. How about you, brothers from Africa? How many we got from Africa in here? Were you amazed at how different things were here when you got here? Did you feel like an alien here? Well, that'd be like me going to the jungles of Africa back in those villages back there in the deep, dark jungles. I'd feel a little out of place. And when the Holy Ghost comes and makes that circumcision, you just don't feel like this is your home anymore. And I'm feeling more like that every day. I feel like an alien here. Praise the Lord. So when you're circumcised of the Holy Ghost, it does the same thing to you. It makes you do things that you didn't think you would do. It makes you take God's promise and believe God. No matter how ridiculous it might seem, you believe God. To the carnal mind, they think you're crazy. Many people today, they think that we're crazy because we believe God sent a prophet. Does that move you? You know, when God said to Abraham, you're going to have a son. Sarah's going to bear you a son. Abraham believed God. He was already 75 years old. His wife was 65. He waited another 25 years, but he continued believing God. He said, if God said it, he's going to do it. So now he's 99 years old. His wife is 89. And he's still saying, we're going to have this child. Now, to the carnal mind, that looked pretty ridiculous. What would we say if somebody walked in today? What if Abraham walked in and he said, God told me I'm going to have a baby. My wife's going to have a baby. She's 89. I'm 99 years old. But we're going to have this baby because God said so. Now, you know the history. But what if you'd never heard that before? What would you say? Don't use your carnal mind. If God said it, he's going to do it. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it seems. It doesn't matter how much the world says you're crazy. Let's just stick with what God said. Let them say what they want to say. I believe God. You believe God? So that Holy Ghost, when you're circumcised to the Holy Ghost, it makes you do things you didn't think you would do. It makes you take God's promise and believe God. We were once dead in sin and trespasses like the prodigal son. But now we have found grace, and God has forgiven us of our sins. He's given us the seal, like he did to Father Abraham, to confirm that he has accepted us. Father Abraham said he believed God, but he gave him the seal of circumcision as a confirmation that he did believe him. Amen. Have you received that confirmation? We have one objective. The Christian has one objective, and that's to serve God. Amen. We have one desire, and that's to love God. Amen. To be followers of God. You say, I believe the message. In the message, the token, the prophet says, you say, I believe the message. That's all right. That's good. But you must have the token. You must have the token displayed. Just like they're in Egypt, they had to apply the blood to their house. It had to be on display. That blood of the Passover lamb had to be displayed. You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. You live a good life. You listen to what the word says. You go to church. You try to live right. That's fine, but that's not it. When I see the blood, amen. That's the token. In that day, there in Egypt, he had to see that actual chemistry, the blood of the lamb, the paschal lamb, because the life had gone from it. But that was an animal life. But here in our day, the token is his own life. The life of God. Here it's his own life that was in the blood. And that life is the token. Praise the Lord. It's the life of Christ that comes into us. Then he says, without the circumcision, without the token, you're not even in the covenant. We have to have that circumcision. That's the covenant that God made with Abraham and his seed. Without the token, you're not even in the covenant. The whole thing works together. If you say you're circumcised to the word and it only, then you'll believe the word. If you believe the word, then the token has got to come. For he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the token, the gift, the circumcision, the Holy Ghost. We're circumcised by the Holy Ghost when the world is all cut off of you. Are you in the covenant? Are you a Christian? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you circumcised by the Holy Ghost? Then, brother, every promise in the Bible belongs to you. In the message, Confirmation and Evidence, the prophet says, now, he said to his disciples, I'm going to give you the confirmation of this, as he did to Abraham with circumcision. But he says, but wait up there at Jerusalem until you have, till you've got the confirmation, until you have the evidence. And what was it? It was the evidence, like Joshua brought back something from the other side. What was it? It was the evidence that our Joshua, our Jehovah Savior, had returned from the dead and given us an evidence that when we die, we live again on the other side. Confirmation, confirming, giving the evidence. What is the evidence? It's the evidence is the resurrection. It's the life of Christ. That's the token. The evidence. The circumcision now is the Holy Ghost. It circumcises our heart, and we know we've passed from death unto life. We've raised up resurrection. We've raised up with Christ in resurrection. We look back at our lives and see what we were. Old things have passed away. There's been a circumcision, a cutting away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new life. The life of God, the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Can we testify to the same? I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Galatians 2:20. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
In other words, it's not Paul or it's not Saul of Tarsus that lives anymore. He died. He was crucified with Christ. Now it's Christ living in me. Now it's a different life. The life which I now live, it's Christ. The prophet said in the message, all things. I appreciate testimonies. How many like testimonies? I appreciate music. You appreciate music? All those things. He says, but that isn't it. It takes the preaching of the cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It takes the preaching of the cross. It takes the circumcision of the Spirit to bring life. Are we still preaching the cross? A dying to self? It takes a circumcision of the Spirit to bring life.
Amen.
There's where, when a man knows that it's wrong for things to creep into the church, and the minister doesn't tell him about it. He says we've lost our sincerity somewhere. Remember, God has a purpose for that circumcision knife. But the prophet says, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to know that there's a circumcision of the heart. That God will cut away all the world, all the traditions of men, everything else, and we can see Jesus. When will we see Jesus? How many want to see Jesus? Where do you want to see Jesus? I want to see him right here. Amen. I want to see Jesus manifested. That's what we've been called for as sons and daughters of God, to manifest God. I want to see Jesus. And when will we see Jesus? When God cuts away all the world and all the traditions of men and everything else, then we can see Jesus. See him standing in that pillar of fire, going before, performing the works, doing exactly what God said he would do. and bring forth a church filled with the Holy Ghost, doing the works that he said. So you accept the Holy Spirit by faith. But then let the Holy Spirit come and give the circumcision as a witness that he's accepted your faith. We must wait on the Holy Spirit till it's done something. Praise the Lord. The fourth seal. We must wait on the Holy Spirit till it's done something. Not necessarily because we spoke in tongues, not because we danced or we got emotional, we shouted, but until we're changed. When he, the person, the immortal spirit of Christ, becomes your personal savior and changes you and throws your views right straight into Calvary to this word, then something's happened. Something's happened, and no one will have to tell you about it. You'll know it when it happens. The circumcision of the heart. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Romans 2:28. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let's stand. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our sister could play, "Have Faith in God." Abraham had faith in God. He believed God. He believed God's word. He was strong in faith, believing that God was able to perform that which he said. He had faith and patience. And the seed of Abraham believes God. They have that same faith of Abraham that just holds on. And this morning, if you haven't received that confirmation of your faith, if there's still some unbelief, still some carnal reasoning, still a love for the world and the things of this world, will you just surrender it all to God? Only God can do that circumcision of your heart. You have to be willing to accept it, willing to let God do that work of circumcision. Would there be somebody here this morning that would raise your hand and say, "God, perform that work, perform that surgery on my heart. Cut away all my unbelief to believe the Word of God. Cut away my desire for the things of this world. I want to surrender all to you this morning. God sees your hands and He sees your hearts. God knows your life. There's nothing you can hide from Him. And to go in this rapture, you have to have the token. You have to have that life on display. How many would say there are still things in my life that I need God to cut away? God, perform your work in my heart. I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Lord, don't let there be anything that would hinder that love from being perfected in me. Cut away anything and everything that would hinder. You believe this morning? You believe that God's able to do that? If you're Abraham's seed, you have the faith of Abraham. To believe God, no matter how difficult it might seem, how ridiculous to the world it might seem, you believe God. And if you believe God, if you really believe Him, He will give you that circumcision. He'll perform that work on your heart. Amen. That key that unlocks all the promises of God. There's nothing more precious than faith, because faith in God's word will unlock every promise for the believer. If you need something from God this morning, just believe God's word. Believe what God has said. Let God just take away and circumcise all that unbelief, all that skepticism, and just believe God's word. God is faithful. God does not lie. God is faithful to His promises if you'll just believe. Father, you see each person, each need this morning. You see what's on each and every heart, Lord. And I just ask you to move upon each one of these requests, Lord. Whatever it is that the person is desiring from you, Lord, may they receive it this morning by faith. If you said it in your word, we believe it. And we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it, Father. Can you thank Him? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have faith in God. priesthood. The priesthood of the circumcision, offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Praise. Praise to Him. Let your life be a praise to Jesus. God bless you.
Let's just sing that one more time. Have faith in God. That's the only way you're going to make it. Where's your faith at today? Is it in God? You know, sometimes you notice the sisters more easily than the brothers. The sisters start forgetting. They start wearing the high heels again. They start wearing their dresses too short again. They start wearing them too tight again, too low again. You need your circumcision to go deeper in your flesh. Cut that out of there. You brothers need the Holy Ghost not to look and lust after the women. You need to carry that cross continually. The prophet of God taught us about looking, how the enemy can cause you to have a thought, but my Holy Ghost keeps you circumcised all the time. All the time. He's working. He's taking care of you. So some of you need to check your Holy Ghost and see if you've been circumcised all the way. And you're trusting the Lord all the way. That was a wonderful message. Many of you have been taught how to live, how to look, how to dress. But somehow the worldlyism sneaks back into your life. And you let the devil start taking control again. You need to die daily. As Paul said, bring it before the Lord. Father, have I done anything wrong? Have I made any mistake today? Just because you ask God to forgive you doesn't mean that the devil's not going to challenge you all the time. Like he said about Brother Pedro, they said you don't have cancer, but now the devil's trying to attack him in a different way with anemia. But God knows how. You got faith in God this morning? Let's just ask Him, Father, clean the slate this morning. Wash us by the water, by the word, which I believe you've done today. Lord, if we've neglected to hear your voice, if we've neglected to see the word of God in our life, if we've neglected to do the things of God, Father, wash us this morning. Cut away the worldly ideas and the church ideas, but let the Holy Ghost come in and fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Without the circumcision of our heart, Lord, we're not going to make it. Lord, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That was what you said. Have your way, Lord, today, I pray. We can never pray enough, Lord. We can never ask you enough, Lord Jesus, to help us each and every day of our life. Lord, bless our brothers and sisters, the young men, the young women, Lord, to realize it's not about prestige. It's not about look at me. It's about look at Christ. For when people see us, they should be looking at Christ. Lord, they should be seeing you when they see us. Have your way, Father, I pray today. In all these things, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many can say, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart today? I can't. I know He did. He's still real, friends. He's still the discerner of the thought and the intent of your heart. Whatever that intent is, he knows all about it. Whatever that desire is, he understands it. Amen. God has been so good to us. Amen. Just having faith in God. Amen. Just after the service now, I'll be taking Brother Sandy right away to the airport, Lord willing. He's headed for Israel. There's some believers there he's going to go and work with a little bit. May God bless him to find that last seat over there. That's where it's at. Let him find it. Amen. We want God to have his way wherever we go, whatever we do. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You know, the human mind sometimes, and I'm getting older always. I had notes, and I missed writing it on the notes. Amen. If you'll stand, we'll dismiss the service this morning. I need to see my deacons. I got 5 deacons now. I need to see them just right away over on that side, and it'll just be a brief meeting with them. So if you want to talk to me, you'll have to hold up until I talk to my deacons, okay? Because when you want to talk to me, you need to find out, remember who the deacons are now? For our Spanish brothers and sisters, our deacon is Brother Jose Rodriguez. You want to talk to me, you try to get through Brother Jose, because sometimes they're still speaking Spanish. The rest of you, you saw the other 4 brothers who are deacons. You come check with them. If I'm available to talk with you, Lord willing, we'll talk to you, or we'll schedule a time, all right? Amen. We've got to try to keep it lined up perfectly if we can. Let's just have a word of prayer and just play softly, Sister Cindy, something there for a moment. Father, we thank you for the service today. We thank you for such a word, circumcision of the heart. Lord, we thank you for Brother Sandy for obeying the leadership of God. And I pray, Lord, as he goes away from us today and on his journey to Israel, Lord, he's a missionary, and he's going there to do the work of God. He's not just going for sightseeing like some of us do. He's going for a reason different. I pray you watch over him and keep him, Lord, and bless his family while he's away. Lord Jesus, bless each one of us to follow after your word, to lay aside the things of the world because they're only temporal. I look at the situation of people that are passing off the scene. When they leave this world, they take nothing with them except their testimony of who they are, their character. Lord, help us to have a testimony that will be pleasing in your sight. Bless the children of God everywhere, Lord. Bless each one of us as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Be back with us, Lord, on Wednesday night, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Go in Jesus' name. Shake hands with our visitors if you see any, and be kind one to another. Go in Jesus' name. Amen.